Shiny Pokemon are some of the rarest things in any Pokemon game. In Pokemon X and Y, this remains true, as the chances of finding a Shiny are about 1 in every 4,096 encounters. Knowing this, I decided to absolutely torture myself and try to beat Pokemon X using only Shiny Pokemon. On top of that, as if this challenge wasn't already crazy enough, I'm also going to be adding on the hardcore Nuzlocke rules just to make sure it's way more difficult. With all that out of the way though, I'm ready to get into this game, so I start off by naming myself Zango and wake up to myself getting smacked upside the head by this fletchling. After a pretty severe concussion, I walk outside and meet my neighbors, but I'm not really talking to them. I'm thinking about what shiny I want to get for this run. This game basically has two solid options, and that's Finnegan and Froakie. Sorry to you Chespin fans, but there's no way I get Aquilidan on my team. That being said though, I'm definitely gonna go with Froakie because shiny Greninja is just too good to pass up on. This initial cutscene actually takes me a pretty long time to go through, and I was getting about one encounter every 30 seconds. This is about two encounters every minute, 120 per hour, and an estimated made a time to find my shiny in about 34 hours. That's already a pretty long time in and of itself, and thankfully I was pretty close to odds, and it took me about 41 hours to find myself a shiny Froakie.
There it is! Shiny Froakie, let's go! Oh my gosh, I finally got it! Yes, dude! There's the shiny Froakie! We can start the run! Oh my gosh, yes!
Now that I've got Froakie on the team, I check out that nature, and it's attack down and special defense up, which is really bad for this next gym. I guess we'll just cross that bridge when we get there though, and for now, I've got a rival battle against Shauna. This one, I basically have no chance of losing because I have Bubble and she is a Finnegan. I then go tell my mom that I'll probably never see her again as I go to continue on to the first route. On this route, Serena teaches me how to catch a Pokemon, and while I'm going through this insanely long cutscene, I figure I might as well talk to you guys about this completely free-to-play hit mobile RPG that is Raid Shadow Legends. Guys, you do not want to miss out on these special offers Raid has this spring. Raid is a super in-depth game with over 800 different champions you can collect. With PvE, PvP, and CVC options, there's always something fun and new to do in Raid. By using my link in the description or by scanning the QR code on screen, you can get two super strong epic heroes that you can use throughout your gaming experience. Raid is an extremely deep game with loads of action and strategy, and the best part is that it's constantly getting updated. For whatever reason, some people think that Raid is just a stupid mobile game, but it's a lot more than that, and it's actually really, really good. I would know, as I've got it on my PC and mobile device, which means it's there whenever I want to play. A lot of people also assume that Raid truly can't be free to play, but I can tell you from my personal experience that I've had a blast on this game, and I haven't spent anything. Tell you what, if you download the game now, you can get in on the Spring Hunt event where new players have the chance to win a gaming console and 10k total value worth of Amazon gift cards. First, you'll have to find the items in Mistwood, then download Raid using my link in the description. Simply head to springhunt.polarium.com and enter your Raid ID and you can just start playing. Along with that, all players have the opportunity to win a free champion, Chronicle Adeline. She's a super good champion and is perfect for taking on the Sand Devil. To get her, all you have to do is log in 7 days from April 11th to July 8th. If all of that isn't enough, Raid is giving two free epic champions when you use my link or my QR code. The two champions they're giving away are Tyrell, and when you reach level 25, you'll also receive the epic champion Rector Draft. This is along with tons of other cool stuff. And just to put the cherry on top, if you use the promo code SPRINGHUNT24, you can get 10 XP brew, 100 energy, and 100,000 silver. Once you're in crushing your enemies, find me under the name Zango and come join my clan and we can all be legends together. Don't forget to use my link in the description or use my QR code on screen to receive those awesome rewards. Huge thank you to Raid for sponsoring this video. They're genuinely a really great game and I hope you guys go check them out. With all that being said though, finally Serena is done catching this Bunnelby. After this Bunnelby gets caught, for some reason, Shauna is surprised that it fits in the Pokeball and it's like, aren't you in the Pokemon universe? You should know that they do that. After speeding through this forest and Route 3, I find myself in Sanalun City, where I've got to battle this roller skater girl, I guess. After defeating her, I end up getting a pair of roller skates myself, and just look how fun these things are, going back and forth, back and forth. Unfortunately for me though, I've got to quit playing around because it's time for me to challenge the first gym. Honestly, this gym has no right to be as difficult as it is. In order to ensure my victory against Viola, I decided to do some super training so I have a much better chance in this fight. After a bunch of super training, I end up bulking up my Froakie stats quite a bit before going to challenge Viola for my first badge. She leads this fight with the water and bug Surskit, as I lead with my Froakie. With Froakie, I decide to go for Lick, hoping to get a lucky paralysis, and I actually get it, which makes it so Surskit can't move. On the following turn, I go for a quick attack that gets a lucky crit and takes Surskit down to about a third remaining as she then goes for a water sport. Unfortunately, after another quick attack, I don't kill, leaving Surskit with a sliver as she then hits me with a quick attack herself. This only does 4 damage as on the next turn, Viola heals as I get off 2 more quick attacks, taking Surskit down into the red yet again. After Surskit gets off a final bubble, I'm able to take her down with yet another quick attack, leading into the final Pokemon, Vivillon. Vivillon outspeeds me and starts off by immediately going for an infestation, which sucks. I do about a fourth with bubble, and after the infestation, I'm left with 19 HP going into the next turn where Vivillon hits me with a tackle. Another bubble takes Vivillon down to half, and this puts me in a really bad position. I'm only left with 9 HP remaining, so I absolutely need Vivillon to go for a Harden, and thankfully, I end up getting extremely lucky, and Vivillon does exactly that. After that last bit of damage, I'm actually in torrent range, so I do a ton of damage with my next bubble, leaving Vivillon with a sliver remaining. This allows me to go for a quick attack on the following turn, finishing off Vivillon and winning myself my first badge. With that badge acquired, I can now go into Lumio City, where I get to meet the professor. Before taking on the professor in a battle, I decide to evolve my Froakie into Frogadier, and I also run around Lumio City for a little bit to bring up my friendship so I can teach Frogadier Return. After doing this, I'm easily able to sweep Professor Sycamore's team, and he gives me the option to pick a starter here. Now, theoretically, I could shiny hunt for one of these, but I'd have to be absolutely insane, as you have to fight Professor Sycamore every single time you want to get an encounter. Regardless, I end up running away from that nightmare and running into a whole new one after meeting Lysander. I don't know how to explain it, but this guy's hair just doesn't look real. It looks like he's got a chin strap on. Now that I've got that out of the way though, I get onto Route 5 where I get sniffed up on by this Lucario, and I also fight Tierno. I end up pretty easily getting past him and meeting up with this Snorlax, which I've got to go get a Pokeflute to wake up. In order to get the Pokeflute though, I've got to pay to get into this mansion, but thankfully in the Pokemon universe, I'm a multi-millionaire, so $1,000 is no big deal. After romantically watching these daytime fireworks with Shauna, I end up getting the Pokeflute, and I kind of realize my team looks a little bit weak right now. It's literally just Froggy right now, so I decide to take this time and catch myself another Pokemon. This shiny hunt takes place on Route 6, where there's a potential for me to get an Espeon or a Honedge. I'm pretty okay with either of these two Pokemon, so after running around in the grass for what was only about 10 hours, I ended up finding myself a shiny Honedge. After paralyzing Honedge with a Lick, I was easily able to catch it with a Great Ball, and I ended up giving it the nickname Loki. I then take a look at this thing's nature and find out that it's Jolly, which will definitely come in handy later on in this run. You guys just wait and see. Along with that, I also find the name raider so I can finally give Frogadier a name, and I decide to give him the nickname Odin. Now I'm finally feeling a little bit more confident about my team, so I move on past this Snorlax into a rival battle. This is a pretty easy one considering I get to take it on with Serena, and after moving through Route 8, I find myself in Ambrit Town. This town doesn't really have much for me though, as it's kind of just a pit stop for me to meet up with Team Flare and Glittering Cave. After defeating them, I meet up with this scared scientist who doesn't even know who Team Flare is. He says, "Team Flare?" He also ends up giving me a jaw fossil, which is easily the best fossil in all of Pokemon. I don't want to hear it. I decided to uncover it just for the heck of it, but it's not a shiny, so it is what it is. Now it's time for me to go to Silage City and take on Grant for my second gym badge. Grant leads his fight with his Amora, as I lead with Honedge. Amora starts off by hitting me with a Thunder Wave, making it so I can't move on that same turn, and on the next turn, I get hit by an Aurora Beam, and I also can't move again because of the paralysis. This is pretty unlucky, but thankfully I'm able to land 2 consecutive Rock Smashes in the following 2 turns, and because they're 4 times super effective, they kill Amora and lead into the final Pokemon, Tyrant. For this, I'm definitely gonna switch out, so I move into my Frogadier, who gets hit by a Bite on the switch in, and gets brought down to 38 HP. This doesn't matter too much though, as after 1 Water Pulse, Tyrant's down to half, and he ends up missing a Rock Tomb, allowing me to connect with a 2nd Water Pulse, winning me my 2nd badge. With that gym out of the way, I think it's about time for me to start my next shiny hunt. For this next one, I'll be in the grass right outside of Silage City on Route 10, where I can run back and forth and hopefully get myself a shiny Eevee. Eevee's got a relatively high encounter rate on this route, and pretty much any Pokemon I encounter here I'm okay with, so that's why I shiny hunted here. Regardless, with that being said though, this ended up being one of my quicker shiny hunts, and in only about 6 hours, I landed myself a shiny Eevee.
There it is! That's the shiny, and it's Eevee! Let's go! Oh my gosh, it's a shiny Eevee, dude! Yes, that didn't even take that long. What was that? 6 hours? Yes, shiny Eevee's on the team. Oh my gosh, let's go.
I ended up catching Eevee and giving her the nickname Freya, and I check out that nature, and it's just neutral, so it's alright. I am extremely happy I got an Eevee here because it means I can choose any of the Eeveelutions to get a shiny for. In the end, because this is Gen 6, I decided to get myself a shiny Sylveon. Sylveon is probably one of the best Eeveelution shinies to get anyways, but in this game, it's actually kind of difficult to obtain. I mean, not difficult, but kind of time consuming. Regardless, after getting my Eevee's affection up to 2 hearts, I'm able to evolve it, and just look at this shiny. From here, I do some business with Team Flare, where I kind of just speed past them for a little bit until I end up fighting Corinna and her Lucarios. Thankfully, they basically can't hit ghost types whatsoever, so Loki's able to easily stomp them as I go into Reflection Cave. In this cave, there's actually a lot of solid encounters, and it's another one of those places where I'm pretty happy with basically any shiny I get here. Well, basically anything other than Mr. Mime, because I don't want that thing. It's scary. That being said, though, this shiny hunt didn't go as well as the other ones, and it took me a solid week to find myself a shiny Roggenrola. This thing was really a pain to shiny hunt for, but after catching it, I ended up giving it the nickname Boulder, and check out that nature and its defense up, special attack down, which is honestly not that bad. I can immediately evolve Roggenrola into a Boldore, and I finally can leave Reflection Cave, which means I can continue on into the game. That being said, right when I leave the cave, I've got a battle against Serena, and this is a kind of difficult rival battle, but my team is actually really solid right now, so I don't have any trouble with it. After she's defeated, I just make my way to the gym and get ready to challenge Corinna for my third badge. Corinna leads this fight with Mianfu as I lead with Loki. Mianfu doesn't have a single attacking move that can hit Loki, so I take this opportunity to set up 3 consecutive swords dances. This right here puts me at +6 attack, so I can easily one-shot Mianfu with an Aerial Ace, and the same happens with the next Pokemon, Machoke. With that, the final Pokemon, Hawlucha, gets sent in, and she ends up setting up a Hone Claws, but it really doesn't matter as an Aerial Ace easily kills and wins me my third badge. With that gym out of the way, I can start making my way towards the fourth, and for some reason, I've got to fight Corinna for the third time. I'm not really sure why she keeps wanting the smoke, because she loses every single time. Regardless, I show her who's boss yet again, this time with her own Pokemon, and I even decline it coming on my team because it's not a shiny. Regardless, after that, I end up getting the HM for Surf, which is going to be really good to put on my Frogadier, and it allows me to get into the next city pretty easily. Once I get into the city, it's another rival battle against Serena, and because my team is the exact same it was before, it's a pretty easy one, and right after this, I'm ready to challenge the fourth gym. Ramos leads this fight with Jumpluff as I lead with Honedge. Jumpluff starts off by hitting me with an Acrobatics, not doing too much damage as I then go for an Aerial Ace that does almost half. On the next turn, we repeat the cycle and do the same thing, but I end up leaving Jumpluff with a sliver remaining, and on the next turn, Ramos heals. While he was healing, I went for a Swords Dance that brought my attack to +2, and with my attack so high, it's easily able to finish off that Jumpluff and bring up the next Pokemon, Go-Goat. On the first turn, Go-Goat elects to go for a Grass Knot, which doesn't do too much damage, but does activate my Citrus Berry. This allows me to get off an Aerial Ace, which does a little over half of Go-Goat's health. That being said, I'm at 56 HP before Go-Goat hits me with yet another Grass Knot, taking me down to 47, and with another Aerial Ace, Go-Goat goes down and brings out the final Pokemon, Weepinbell. Weepinbell is no match against a +2 Aerial Ace, which means I get the Oko and the fourth gym badge in the process. After that gym battle, my Honedge ended up evolving, and that led me on to Route 13. On this route, I end up finding this not-so-lost Power Plant pass and getting into the Power Plant to fight Team Flare. I ended up fighting an excessive number of these guys, and eventually, while I was going through this area, I ended up evolving my Frogadier into a Greninja, and this is the best shiny in all of Pokemon. Let me know what your guys' favorite shiny is in the comments, but this is definitely mine. That being said, with Greninja, I wash away Team Flare, and I'm actually able to head towards Lumio City. On my way there, I ended up encountering this massive man. I mean, this guy's at least 10 feet tall. After trying to squeeze by him, I find myself in Lumio City, where I get to watch the Prism Tower activate and get ready to fight in the Lumio City Gym. While going up this tower, I ended up evolving Boldore into Gigalith, and usually this is a trade evolution, but I made it so it's not because, I mean, Gigalith is too cool to pass up on. With that, I'm ready to challenge Clement for my fifth badge. He leads this fight with Emolga as I lead with Gigalith. Emolga definitely outspeeds me here, but is probably going to go for a Volt Switch, and in prediction of that, I decided to go for a Bulldoze. This ended up being a perfect move as my Bulldoze connected with a Magneton, doing 4 times super effective damage and activating Sturdy. This allowed me to waste all of Clement's Hyper Potions because he just kept healing after Sturdy. That being said, eventually Clement ran out of potions and Magneton went down, leading into the next Pokemon, Heliolisk. Heliolisk really shouldn't have been that scary, but he did end up connecting with a Thunderbolt that got a critical hit and took me down into the red. This was all fine though, as I ended up getting a critical hit of my own and one-shotted Heliolisk with a single Bulldoze. This then brought out Clement's final Pokemon, Emolga, back out, and for this, I simply just switched into Sylveon and went for a couple of Moonblasts, finishing her off, and that earns me my fifth badge. With that gym finished up, I can go meet up with Lysander in this totally not suspicious cafe, and he ends up giving me a King's Rock, and his hair kind of looks like a King's Rock, honestly. Just like a really large one, I guess. That being said, it's time for me to fight Serena again, and this is probably one of the last easy rival fights we'll have, considering her team gets a lot better after this. Now, I get to go onto this next route, where I find myself in the Spooky House, and this story that he tells is not spooky at all. The only thing spooky about this place is this diabolical camera angle, and the fact that he asks for a tip after this. Like, what? Speaking of tips, though, I've got a tip for you guys. Only about 6.4% of my viewers are actually subscribed, so if you're enjoying the content, why not hit that big red button? Along with that, though, I'm really getting close to 100k subscribers, so if you could like and subscribe to help me get closer to my goal, I'd really appreciate it. Also, if you wanna, I just activated my channel members, so if you wanna support the channel another way, you can there. With all that out of the way, though, I'm basically ready to go into Lavender City and challenge the 6th gym. Valerie leads this fight with Mawile, as I lead with Greninja. Now, you might be saying to me, Zango, why would you lead with a dark type in a fairy gym? And to that, I say, this Mawile doesn't have a single fairy move. So, what I decide to do is spam Power Up Punch until eventually I get to +6 attack just off this Mawile alone. So at this point, not only do I waste every single one of Valerie's potions, but I'm at +6 attack going into the final two Pokemon. The first Pokemon to get sent in is Mr. Mime, who doesn't even get the chance to set up a Reflect before getting one-shotted by Return, and the last Pokemon to come out is a Sylveon. Sylveon's pretty bulky, but definitely not bulky enough to survive a Return at +6, so I easily one-shot and take my 6th badge. The next step on my journey is fighting a little bit more of Team Flare in the Pokeball Factory. I'm nearly able to take out every single Team Flare member by myself, so when Serena asks me to help her, I don't want to, because she sucks. I kinda have to though, just to continue the story, and I do, and I end up getting a Master Ball for my troubles, so I guess it was kinda worth it. I then walk up to this girl who says, I love really big things, and that just kinda makes me sad. It makes me sad because I don't have any big Pokemon. Obviously. Continuing on forward into the game leads me onto Route 16 and in turn the Lost Hotel. This place has a ton of good Pokemon, and since I haven't gotten a new shiny in a while, I decided to start another shiny hunt right here. This shiny hunt was definitely one of my longer ones, and it took me about 2.5 weeks to land myself a shiny Litwick.
There it is! There it is! Shiny Litwick! Let's go, dude! Oh my gosh, that one took forever. I finally got it. Let's go, man. Oh, it's a good shiny too. I'm so happy. I can get the run going again. Yes, man. Shiny Litwick. Oh my gosh, yes.
If that's not worth a sub, I don't know what is. I ended up having to catch Litwick with a Master Ball because at this level, it learns the move Memento, which means it'll immediately die if it uses it. This is gonna give me a few problems a little later in the game, but you'll see why when we get there. Once Litwick has been caught, I give him the nickname Thor, then check out that nature and its special attack up and special defense down, which I'm kind of indifferent to. I can now immediately evolve Litwick into Lampen and head directly into Frost Cavern, where I deal with a little bit more of Team Flare. They're really not much of a problem as usual, and after them, I can get on top of this Mamoswine and head into Anastar City. Once I get here, I decide to completely revamp my team and do a bunch of super training so I can get myself 2 Duskstones. These Duskstones I utilize to get myself an Aegislash and a Chandelure. Along with that, I get myself a couple of Heart Scales and completely revise the movesets of a couple of my Pokemon. This puts me in pretty good standing when I go to fight my rival. Serena leads with Meowstic as usual, as this time I decide to lead with Greninja. With Greninja, I'm able to land 2 consecutive Night Slashes, taking out Meowstic and bringing out the next Pokemon Chestnut. For this, I simply just switch into Chandelure, who doesn't take any damage on the switch in, then go for a Flamethrower, which is enough to take out Chestnut, and bring out the next Pokemon Vaporeon. I show Serena who's got the better evolution, and easily take out Vaporeon with my Sylveon, and the final Pokemon Absol just simply goes down to a Moonblast, and that's my rival fight. Now, the only thing left to do in the city is head into the Anastar City Gym, where I can challenge Olympia for my 7th gym badge. She leads this fight with Sigilyph, as I lead with Chandelure. Right away, I decide to go for a Hex, and with my super high special special attack stat, I'm easily able to take out Sigilyph, leading into the next Pokemon Slowking. For Slowking, I decide to switch into my Greninja, and with Greninja in, I get hit by a Yawn, which kinda sucks, cause that means I'm going to sleep in the next turn. Before I fall asleep in the next turn, I decide to go for a Night Slash that does a ton of damage, taking Slowking down into the red, as I then fall asleep, and that just sucks. On the following turn, Olympia heals as I switch out into Aegislash. With Aegislash, I start out by going for a Swords Dance, as Slowking then hits me with another Yawn, which just sucks. Doesn't really matter too much though, as after that Swords Dance, I'm easily able to KO with a Shadow Claw, as this brings out the final Pokemon Meowstic. I've got about 100 ways I can deal with this thing, but in the end, I decide to just take out Chandelure and go for a single Hex, finishing off Meowstic and winning myself my 7th badge. It's after this gym battle where Team Flare basically vows to blow up the world for whatever reason, and I decide to go back to Lumio City and visit this not-so-suspicious cafe. It's really weird, because I walk in just trying to get some food, and they say today's special is Scramble if you don't get out of here, now. And it's like, that's a little rude, I think. They ended up being some Team Flare members in disguise, which honestly was pretty shocked about. I did not see that coming. After moving past them though, I get to fight Lysander for the first time, and initially his team isn't gonna be that difficult. This is because he has two Pokemon that aren't full evolutions yet, but he does have a Gyarados, which is a major problem for my team, as I have almost no way of dealing with this thing. That's a problem for later though, as now I just slowly make my way through the Team Flare hideout and eventually make it upstairs to see this whole cutscene about the Pokemon War and everything. I don't know about you guys, but I really hope they utilize this in Pokemon Legends ZA because it would be really cool and I just want to see some chaos. Anyways though, besides that, I end up accidentally activating the ultimate weapon and blowing up basically everybody's house in Geosench Town. My bad. I've then got to go fly to Geosench Town so I can deal with the rest of Team Flare, and this is where my second fight with Lysander comes. For this, I lead the fight with Gigalith, so Mian Shao decides to go for a high jump kick. This was actually really strategic though, as it allows me to switch into my Aegislash, so Mian Shao takes half his health and recoil damage. On the next turn, I'm able to kill Mian Shao with a Shadow Claw, and this brings out the next Pokemon, Pyroar. For Pyroar, I simply just switch into Greninja and kill with a single Surf as the next Pokemon comes out, and it's Gyarados. Gyarados is pretty tricky to deal with, but thankfully, I know it's probably going for an outrage because it sees the kill on Greninja. So what I decide to do is switch into my Aegislash, who takes not very effective damage by outrage, and go for a King Shield on the next turn, so it lowers Gyarados' attack by 2 stages. With Gyarados' attack at -2, I feel safe enough to switch into Baldur and go for just one Rock Slide, which is enough to take down Gyarados and bring out the final Pokemon, Honchkrow. Against Honchkrow, I kind of switched between a lot of my Pokemon, but eventually I took it down with just 2 Surfs from Greninja, and that wins me my battle against Lysander, and the next one is going to be even harder. On my way there, Shauna ends up meeting up with me and Serena and says something dumb like, oh, friends should stick together, but she's kind of a liability, so I really don't want her. Regardless, I eventually make it to the bottom floor where I get into a fight against Xerneas. Now, usually this would be a pretty cut and dry scenario and I just catch it with a Master Ball, but I actually don't have a Master Ball. This means I've got to try to catch this legendary Pokemon with an Ultra Ball, which really does suck, but I actually get really lucky and all it takes is one. After catching the box legendary, I can continue into the game and fight my final battle against Lysander. Unfortunately, for some reason, this fight has you lead with Xerneas, and that's a little bit weird, but I just decided to switch into Aegislash, which is what I was gonna do anyways. Unfortunately for me though, Mian Shao decided to go for a Swords Dance, which is kind of more annoying than anything, considering it can barely hit Aegislash regardless. All it takes is just one Shadow Claw from Aegislash to take down Mian Shao and bring out the next Pokemon, Pyroar. Once Pyroar comes out, I do the same thing I did last time, and that's switch into Greninja and go for a single Surf, which is enough to one-shot, and bring out the third Pokemon, Honchkrow. Honchkrow is another Pokemon that's just gonna die to 2 separate Surfs as the final Pokemon then comes out, and that's gonna be Mega Gyarados. I start out against Mega Gyarados doing the same thing I've been doing, and that's swap into Aegislash and go for a King Shield after it starts going for Outrage. This then leaves Gyarados confused as I swap into Freya, who gets hit by an Earthquake on the switch in. On the following turn, I get nailed by an Iron Head that takes me down to 55 HP remaining, but I do get off a Moonblast that takes Gyarados down to about a 1/4 left. That being said, at -2, I'm pretty confident Boulder can live basically anything Gyarados throws at him, so I decide to switch out into Boulder, who gets hit by an Aqua Tail on the switch in. This takes me down to 117 remaining, and I can actually tank another Aqua Tail and go for a Rock Slide, finishing off Gyarados and winning me my final battle against Lysander. With that battle completed, I'm finished with the entirety of Team Flare, and I can continue on into the story where I go to Coraway Town and fight the Professor yet again. His team is relatively easy to deal with, and so are my rivals' teams that basically come right after. It takes me a minute to go through them, them just because I have to fight three of them in a row, but eventually I make my way into Snowbell City where I can prepare for my final gym. In preparation for this final gym, I decide to revamp my movesets a little bit before heading into Winding Woods. This is considered Route 20, and there's a bunch of good Pokemon here, and I need a final slot on my team, so this is where I look for my final shiny. Thankfully, this shiny didn't end up taking me forever like the last one, and in about 16 hours, I landed myself a shiny Trevenant. After catching Trevenant, I gave her the nickname Ire, then looked at the nature, and it's attack up, special attack down, which is adamant, which is really solid for Trevenant. I then go ahead and look through these woods just a little bit longer to find the gym leader Wolfric, and I take him back to the gym so I can challenge him for my final badge. He leads this fight with Abomasnow as I lead with Chandelure. With Chandelure, I start by going for a 4x super effective flamethrower, and honestly, it probably could have killed 2x over. The next Pokemon to get sent in is Avalug, and for this, I just go for yet another flamethrower, and again, it probably could have killed twice. With that, the last Pokemon comes in and it's Cryogonal, and I'm kind of scared to go for a flamethrower against this thing because it has really high special defense, so in the end, I decided to just switch out. I end up just simply going for one Iron Head against Cryogonal, it kills and wins me my final badge. With that, I'm ready to go towards the Pokemon League by heading through Victory Road. While going through here, I get in my final rival battle against Serena. Serena leads the fight like she always does with Meowstic as I decide to lead with my Greninja. Greninja's pretty easily able to defeat Meowstic as I then switch into Frey when Altaria comes out. Against Altaria, I KO with just 2 Moonblasts, as the next Pokemon to come out is Vaporeon. Vaporeon's not really too difficult to deal with, and with a combination of Trevenant and Sylveon, I'm easily able to take her down, as next out is Absol, who really isn't that hard either. For me, all I had to do was swap between Gigalith and Greninja, then Absol went down and brought out the final Pokemon, Chestnut. Chestnut has no answers for Chandelure, so I simply just switch him in and go for a flamethrower, easily KOing and winning myself my final rival battle. With that, all I've got to do is make it to the end of Victory Road, level up my team, and get ready to fight my first Elite Four battle. To start this Elite Four journey, I decide to go up against the Dragon-type Elite Four member, Drazna. For this fight, she leads with Dragalge, as I lead with Boulder. Dragalge starts out by going for a Surf, and it does super effective damage, but it doesn't actually bring me below half, so I'm able to go for an Earthquake and easily Oko. With that, the next Pokemon to get sent in is Druddigon, and Druddigon I'm kinda scared of, so what I decide to do is switch out into Freya. On the switch in, Freya gets hit by a Revenge, but it doesn't do really any damage at all, as in the next turn I'm able to go for a Moonblast and it's actually able to one shot. With that, the second to last Pokemon, Altaria, is sent in, and with Altaria she starts out by going for a Cotton Guard as I go for a Moonblast that takes her down into the red. This causes Drazna to heal, and in the next turn I get an even higher damage roll, which allows me to kill Altaria and bring out the final Pokemon, Noivern. Noivern ends up absolutely eating a Moonblast from Freya, and that wins me my first Elite Four battle. With that, I get to challenge my next Elite Four member, Malva. Malva leads this fight with Pyroar as I lead with Odin. With Odin, I start out by going for a Surf, washing away this Pyroar, and bringing out the next Pokemon, Talonflame. Talonflame actually is able to outspeed my Greninja, and goes for a Brave Bird, which deals a ton of damage, taking me down to 90 remaining, as I'm able to get off yet another Surf, finishing off Talonflame with a one-shot. After Talonflame, this fight is actually just easy. I mean, I don't even get hit by another Pokemon, as I one-shot Torkoal with another Surf, and do the same with Chandelure, which wins me my second Elite Four battle. Now, those are the two easy fights out of the way, and I've got two more that could be pretty difficult if I'm not careful. The first one I decided to take on is in the Ironworks Chamber, and it's against Wickstrom. Wickstrom brings out Klefki as I decide to bring out Thor. Against Klefki, and with my super high special attack stat, I'm able to go for just one flamethrower and it one-shots. With that, the next Pokemon to get sent in is Probopass, and this could be a little more difficult. Against Probopass, I start out by going for a flamethrower that does a little over half, as then Probopass hits me with a Power Gem that, if it would have crit, probably would have killed Thor. It takes me down to 49 remaining, but because I did so much damage with my first flamethrower, I'm able to kill with another and lead into the next Pokemon, Scizor. Against Scizor, I'm at 49 HP, so I'm pretty confident I can survive a bullet punch even if it crits, so I just decide to stick in and go for another flamethrower, and because it's 4x super effective, it easily kills. This then brings out the ace Pokemon, Aegislash, and this could really be a problem. With the ability stance change, Aegislash could really be an issue, and I know it sees the kill with Shadow Claw against Thor. So what I decide to do is switch into my Aegislash, Loki. Because Aegislash starts off in shield form, I don't take much damage at all because of my base 150 defense stat. And because of my jolly nature, I know I outspeed on the next turn, and because he's already in blade form, that means I can deal massive damage with a Shadow Claw of my own and easily one-shot this Aegislash. This gets me my win over Wickstrom and leads me on to what could be my hardest Elite Four battle yet. This one's up against Seabold, and he leads with Kleitzer as I decide to lead with Chandelure. With Chandelure, I start out by going for an Energy Ball that's super effective and is able to one-shot, as the next Pokemon to come out is Gyarados. Gyarados could be pretty hard, but I'm really confident that he does doesn't one-shot me unless he gets a crit, so I decided to go for a Confuse Red. This ended up being the right move as Gyarados hit himself with Confusion, and on the next turn, I get off a Shadow Ball that luckily gets a crit and one-shots. Gyarados was by far the most difficult Pokemon he had, so this means that this fight ended up being a lot easier than expected. Barbarnacle is 4 times weak to Energy Ball, so he gets annihilated, and Starmie is the last Pokemon who definitely doesn't survive an Energy Ball. That right there wins me my final Elite Four battle and leads me on into the Radiant Chamber where I can fight Diantha, the Pokemon League champion. Diantha leads the fight with Hawlucha as I lead with Freya. Hawlucha starts by going for a Swords Dance, but it doesn't really mean much as I'm able to go for a Moonblast and get the one shot. This leads into the next Pokemon, Tyrantrum, and luckily enough for me, I'm actually able to outspeed and get yet another one shot. This brings out the other fossil Pokemon in this game, Aurorus, and for Aurorus, I decide to switch into my Aegislash Loki. Thankfully for me, Aurorus for some reason set up a light screen, which means I don't take any damage on the switch in, and on the next turn, I get to go for a 4x super effective Iron Head. Yeah, we all know what happened to Aurorus, I don't even need to say it. Now Goodra comes in, and this Goodra has Fire Blast, so I decide to immediately switch out into Freya. On the first turn, I don't take that much damage by Fire Blast, but on the next, I end up getting burned, which really does suck as I set up a light screen. This third Fire Blast ends up being a critical hit, which really does suck as I go for a Moon Blast, and it only does about a third. After the burn damage, I'm left with 35 HP, so I've definitely gotta switch out. I decided to switch into Chandelure as I finally can start doing some damage to this thing as the light screen went away. Chandelure doesn't take much damage on the switch in, and on the next turn, I decide to go for a Shadow Ball that takes Goodra down into the red. This then leads into Goodra missing a Muddy Water, but with the light screen I have up, I probably would have survived anyways, so I'm not even really worried about it. Regardless, this causes Diantha to heal, and with Goodra at full HP, I'm not really sure if I can kill with just 2 more Shadow Balls. Luckily, my Chandelure is absolutely goaded, and after just one Shadow Ball, I get a special defense drop, which allows me to kill with another. This then brings out the second to last Pokemon, Gorgeist? Gorgeist? I don't really know how to say it, to be honest, but it doesn't really matter as it gets one-shotted by Flamethrower. All that means, though, is that I'm on to the last Pokemon in this game, Mega Gardevoir. My Chandelure has an insane special attack stat, so I decide to stay in and go for a Shadow Ball, and thankfully, it ends up killing Gardevoir with a one-shot and wins me my final battle of this run. Thank you guys for watching this video. If you enjoyed, please consider liking and subscribing as it really does help out the channel and I'm really trying to make it to 100k. With that, I'll see you guys in the next one.